If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Phil Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Coming up in this special edition to celebrate the launch of the Brother UK-sponsored Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing Team's 2021 squad, we learn the full story behind the team's epic launch video, Dare to Dream.
I always had this idea about a rider dreaming of something epic, riding on local roads, incredible scenery, rugged landscapes, and that was what we rolled with.
We discover that the responsibilities of signing a British champion are shared by team and rider, and that early season success builds a foundation of confidence.
That comes with a responsibility from myself to dig that deeper. If someone's putting their race on the line for you, yeah, makes you go that bit deeper towards the end of the race for the result. And the earlier, the better we can pick up a result. I think you can build on from that, and it gives the team a big confidence boost.
We hear how a women's team comprised of medical doctors, firefighters, sheep farmers and more has a broad range of skills to call upon in the heat of a race.
Even though we've all got very different jobs, all of our jobs require teamwork and problem solving and good communication. And if you've got that from a lot of different perspectives and you bring it together, that's ideal in a race situation. If you're someone who easily communicates with people across every spectrum, then you're going to do well as a team.
And we learn why assembling a high performance team, whether in the peloton or in the workplace, can be a complex and challenging task.
It's a really tricky job to do. Getting team chemistry right is a big, big part of any business or cycling team's output that they want. What we don't want is always just one person who considers himself bigger than the team, because then the ego gets in the way, it creates disharmony, people don't want to ride for each other in the same way that in a business that people won't work for each other or give each other their discretionary effort.
Hello and welcome to this ninth edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast. Today, Phil and I are joined by a Brother UK sponsored team in a hurry. This week, the Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing Team makes the long-awaited unveiling of its 2021 squad, its new kit, new sponsors, and an exhilarating launch video. With four new sponsors, including Rafa, arguably the most desirable brand in the sport, four new signings for the men's team, including the reigning British circuit race champion, and four new signings for the women's team, the Manchester-based squad with a hotline to the Lake District has expanded and strengthened, even under lockdown. Today, our guests are team owner, manager, rider, and founder Matt Hallam, Joey Walker, the British circuit race champion, and Melissa Greaves, rider and assistant manager of the Crimson Performance Women's Team. Matt, Joey, Melissa, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Good intro, Tim, as ever.
Oh, thanks very much indeed, Matt. I mean, you're an obvious guy to start with. Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing Team is very much your baby. You launched the team back in 2018 as a vehicle to promote your bike fitting and power data analysis company, and to provide racing opportunities to riders in the Northwest. But since then, I think it's probably fair to say that the team has expanded its ambitions. You've placed content and identity at the front and center of your proposition to sponsors, and you've quietly assembled an impressive roster, both in the men's and the women's team. We're sat here now in, what, April 2021, 4 years after you and I first met at the Chorley Grand Prix. Does this year's high-profile launch feel like a justification for all the hard graft, or has it arrived more quickly than you might have imagined?
Yeah, I think it's a culmination of all the work we've put in over the past 4 years, and it's just been such a success story for the team to go from a small regional team. Now we're heading into a full-on assault on the National Circuit Series and National Road Series with intent of winning races now. So it's evolved into something I never thought it would grow into this, but it's always a pipe dream. I guess sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail, and we've really kind of created a formula now that works so well for us, and year-on-year growth shows that we're certainly going places, and I'm excited about the future for the team.
Phil, it's a formula that you identified right at the outset. What first attracted you to Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing as a proposition for Brother UK?
Well, Matt and I already had a working relationship through a venture that, you know, up in the Northwest that Matt was involved with that I had some interest in too. So I already knew Matt, and I knew he'd always come across as a very detailed person, a great planner and a great communicator. So when he talked about, you know, what his vision was for where he wanted to take what was the team back then, I just knew that sort of Matt had basically the general mindset, the capability, the competencies to sort of go away and do the things that he said he was going to do. It really kind of was a bit of a no-brainer for me that Matt was a fairly easy person to back in that process. But I just want to ask you, Matt, actually, you know, we're 4 years in, and I want to ask you what you've learned from 3 years of running the team now.
Well, where do you start? The list is big, but you know, you make many mistakes along the way, and you always learn from those mistakes. But what I've learned fundamentally is to always have the sponsors in mind with running the team. They are the financial backers, allowing you to pursue this dream of where you want to take things. And without their support, really is a non-starter. So fundamentally, return of investment is always at the priority of what we do, with, you know, now heading into the fourth year, and, you know, we've got some incredible stuff lined up for sponsorship activation. And that's really one of the biggest things I've learned, is to leverage our image and create content that really blows people away and still provides that outreach for sponsors in the process. And of course, I've learned so many other things doing this. Now we're heading into the fourth year, so there's been so many things you've had to learn and adapt to along the way, and no one gives you the rule book of how to run a race team when you start. It really is a case of finding your feet in the process, and fortunately had a great group of riders that, you know, we've still got a core group of riders that have been in the team since the first year, and we've only ever lost one founding sponsor, and that's incredible as well. So I think that it's a culmination of all these years now of grafting away, working our asses off. Like I said, we found that formula, and I'd say we've learned from those mistakes that were made initially, and now we're hopefully a bit more competent at running things.
So I think one thing I just want to sort of feedback to you is that obviously I spend all my life running a business rather than running a cycling team, which is slightly different. But what I have observed in you, and what I think is, you know, I'm always slightly fascinated by what I call the winning pattern. What is it that allows people to be successful in certain environments? And what I recognise with you was, is that I think you are becoming a model of, I guess, what a team manager needs to be for the future of the sport, which is actually you're understanding the role of A, content, and that value is not just simply about what happens on bikes and on the road anymore. It's the value beyond that. The second thing that I've identified is that you're always looking for new sponsors. So you're always actually on the lookout. And what you've done is you are creating time to look. So rather than waiting to the end of a season and sort of going, oh dear, we ought to do something about sponsorship, you're always working on it, which I think is kind of really, really good. Plus, you're running the cycling team and thinking about its branding and motivating the riders and your race program and all of those practical things. So those three pillars, in my experience and my view, are now very important attributes and a part of the skill set and competencies that somebody that wants to run a successful team in 2021 and beyond needs to have. You're not going to disagree with that, I'm sure.
what else can I say there? Well, ultimately, you have to throw yourself into the process of managing a team and everything that goes with it. And it is a hard graft, and it's been a lot of work to get to where we are. And it's not just me, it's everyone else. We've got Melissa on the call as well, who looks after the women's side of things so well. I've got Adam McRae, who helps me so much with the creative side, and a plethora of other people behind me that prop me up doing this. It's just that I'm the sort of base to the team in that regard of being the manager and such. And yeah, it's I guess I can't take all the credit for that, because I am propped up by so many amazing people behind me. But it is a case of throwing yourself into it, immersing yourself into it, and realizing that it's a significant job growing a race team. You're kind of doing it on goodwill for most of the time, which is, yeah, that's a tricky one to absorb as well.
Well, let's bring Melissa into the conversation. Melissa, as Matt said, you are one of the people that helps him to run this team. Specifically, you help him to run the women's team, and that's an expanded squad for 2021. Tell us about how you became involved in Crimson Performance and how your role has developed from rider to rider and assistant manager.
It was quite a natural thing, really. So I'd been on a team that was based in London, and I was struggling with sort of feeling a bit isolated from the rest of the team. So Crimson was like the northern team, and I think it was the end of 2019, they wanted to sort of step up a level from a development team to more of a team that's going to like do the national series and stuff like that. So I got involved. My friend Sophie, who's still on the team, we decided, you know, we're friends with Laura, let's make this like more of a sort of friendly thing. I think women's cycling can be a bit, it's not the friendliest place. So I think we wanted to sort of set up something that was like really approachable and not intimidating to newer riders. And then how I got involved with being sort of the helper or manager of the women's team, I was doing the RAS in Ireland, and in the second stage I got a concussion and I was just sat around for sort of weeks, and Jess, who was the manager before me, she sort of asked me to come along just to sort of get me out of the house and interview some potential new riders. And then a few weeks later, I think it was, that Jess decided that it wasn't for her anymore, and I think she'd seen that I was sort of happy to take on that role. And I met up with Matt, and you could really see his passion for the team and how he wanted to build it up. And I just thought, as someone who's been on other teams and seen how things could be improved, I thought, given that opportunity to sort of make it my own a little bit and do the things that I would have wanted to in other teams, that was quite a good thing. So yeah, it's been a good opportunity.
Great. And Joey, what attracted you to Crimson Performance? I mean, you are their first British champion. It's a big signing for Crimson. It must be a big move for you too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, over the past, I think, two teams I've had now, they've both unfortunately folded. So it was late last year, coming from Vitus, and I was obviously open to see what teams were about. And the main thing with Crimson and Matt was they really made me feel wanted, and say other teams was in discussions or stuff like that, but they were making it difficult, whereas Matt was doing everything he could to get me on board and join the team. So that was probably the big incentive to join. And he's got vision for the future, and by joining, it might help develop the team into the next level. You never know.
We were talking earlier, Joey, off air, weren't we, just before we were recording, about your history in the sport, your family's history in the sport. Your father, Chris Walker, was a tremendous professional of the 1980s and 1990s. Your sister, Jessie, represented Great Britain at a World Championships, riding in support of Lizzie Deignan. Cycling is very much in your blood.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was probably inevitable that I was going to start cycling, but there was never any pressure when I was a youngster. It was more just enjoy the bike ride, and then what will be. And it was actually when I went to watch Lincoln with my dad, and we're really good friends with Russ Downing. Everyone up Michaelgate was shouting, "Go on, Russ, go on, Russ." And my dad just turned to me and said, "That could be you one day." And it really stuck with me, that. And funny enough, I've been in the break in Lincoln before, and it was me. So it was kind of full circle. And that moment just with my dad really made me want to start cycling and racing, so it was nice.
Fantastic. Matt, you teased us right at the beginning of the call, almost unintentionally, I think, by saying, you know, we've always focused on content and we've got some incredible content lined up for 2021. So forgive me, I'm going to jump to this topic already because it's such a brilliant film, the Dare to Dream edit that you've put together with filmmaker Joe Cotterill and with Adam McRae. Which people will see today, I think, on April the 26th when it goes live. Tell us all about that. It's set in the Lake District and inspirational really isn't the word.
We went to the drawing board when we thought about the potential of doing a RAFA launch film. We needed to make something incredible. So we spent weeks deciding the direction of where we wanted to take the film. And I always had this idea about a rider kind of dreaming of something epic, where they were riding on local roads, incredible scenery, rugged landscapes. And that was what we rolled with. So I'm no creative genius here. It was just an idea, but we created this epic storyboard, and Joe did an absolutely incredible job pulling it all together, because, you know, it was a bit of a scramble on the day to do it. Bear in mind, there was three of us, just three people on the day that actually made this happen. And I think we captured things perfectly. We got up at 5:30 in the morning for sunrise on the top of Newlands Pass. Incredible sunrise, minus 10 degrees up there with the wind chill. Poor Adam was in his cycling kit riding up and down. People must have thought we were crazy. We actually got access inside Honister Slate Mine as well. And we were actually filming inside a mountain. We're inside a working mine. So thank you to Honister Slate Mine for allowing us access to that. And, you know, all these things, it just clicked on the day, and we knew we were going to get something special because it was an incredible day. Really showcased the Lake District in all its glory. And I really hope that that film inspires people to pick up their bikes and get out and go and explore and head up to the Lake District and check out the riding that we've got. It's only an hour away from Manchester, which obviously is Brother UK's home base. So yeah, I'm really pleased the feedback's been so positive about it so far.
I mean, it kind of unites the two threads of this conversation, doesn't it? The content side speaks for itself. You say three people were involved in filming that. If you told me 300, I'd believe you. I mean, it's an epic, epic film. But equally, on the commercial side, on the sponsorship side, the Lake District is important to Crimson Performance, isn't it? It's a relationship that you've cultivated. So tell us about how you've brought all of that together.
So obviously, we are a team that was founded in Manchester, and we have a lot of sponsors based over here. Obviously, Brother UK's base is over in Ashton. We also have quite a few of our sponsors based in Cumbria as well, and in the Lake District, and, you know, Porsche Centre Kendal and Hazelbank Country House, for example. So we've always had a connection with the Lake District, and I work from Push Cartel, which is based in Ambleside, and they're a technical sponsor to the team as well. And Adam, who is the assistant manager on the men's team, is an incredible asset for me because he knows those roads like the back of his hand. That's his backyard. So we have a very strong connection to the Lake District. And on a personal level, I just love going there. It's a sense of freedom, sense of adventure. And I just hope that people can access it a bit more on a bike, because the amount of clients that I talk to that come and see me for bike fits in Manchester, they've never ridden their bike in the Lake District. And I want to change that, because that can be, maybe they'll have their best ever ride there and they'll never forget that. And I kind of want to inspire people to go and check out those roads.
Matt, can I just quickly tell you that my last memory of the Lake District riding there was, I'd only been riding for 12 months. Somebody offered me a free ticket into this sportive they described called the Fred Witten. And I was a new cyclist. And I thought, oh, that sounds really nice. What, it's a 100-mile sportive? Oh, I'll have a go at that. And I turned up to do the Fred Witten sportive with about 48 hours notice. I'm still bearing the scars from that day, Matt, including
the mental scars.
That particular day, I think I had every weather system in the known universe come to the Lake District. You know, I had an electrical storm, snow, sleet, freezing cold rain, and literally, I think to finish that day was quite something. But I did remember, my goodness, when the sun was shining, it really was God's own country. It was epic. And I'd really like to go back there. Obviously, when I've lost a few kilograms, Matt, I might have the power, but I certainly need to improve my power to weight ratio. But I'd love to go back. And I think maybe your film could be the catalyst for that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And that's an achievement for us. You know, I'm speaking for Joey here. Literally, we had all those weather systems on the day. We did our photo shoot with Joey on Honister Pass as well. Because at one point, Joey, we had snow up there, didn't we? It was crazy.
And then the next minute, the sun was out.
It sounds like you owe Joey and Adam more than one beer here, Matt, for creating all this all this content for you, but there's another serious sort of side here, isn't it? It was by making a film for one of your sponsors that you landed this new and next big sponsor. Tell us about that.
We had an opportunity to work with Porsche Center Kendall on the Taycan launch, the Taycan e-car launch. We, again, went across to Joe and produced a storyboard around what we could do for them and put together a really nice cinematic film that showcased the car and brought the element of cycling into it. It just happened to be that the creative team at RAFA clocked on to the film. They liked it so much that it created a conversation around potential partnership into this year, which obviously we explored. And the next thing we know is that we signed a deal with RAFA for 2021.
Wow. So actually by making that film helped you to land RAFA as a sponsor. Melissa, from the women's side of the sport, from the women's team, how valuable is Crimson Performance's identity, its perception? How valuable is that to you in the recruitment process for bringing on board new riders, for inspiring women into the sport?
Yeah, I think it was massive. I think, like, Crimson, even though they didn't have the strongest riders in the women's side of things, they always had the nicest kit. They always looked the most professional. And I think as a rider looking for a team, that's something you do look for, because you want to feel confident in the kit that you're wearing. You want to be representing a brand and stuff like that. So that was really important for us. And that enabled us to get Mary Wilkinson on board. She was friends with a few of us and she really liked the branding of it and how it looked really pro. So that's what got us quite a big named rider on the women's team.
Well, you've ticked a box for me there, Melissa, because having read your email, I was thinking, well, who is the sheep farmer on Crimson Performance?
Yeah, that's Mary.
And you might have solved that mystery for me. But it's the women's team, particularly, is a group of women with some really diverse and interesting job roles outside of the sport. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so we've got a doctor, which is Sophie. We've got a firefighter. We've got the GB Paralympic head ski coach in Joe. Then we've got me. I just work in an office, so I'm really boring compared to everyone else. And we've got a couple of students as well, and a sheep farmer. So yeah, we've got people from all different backgrounds, all different ages, but when we come together, it's just like almost like a family already. We're just really close-knit group, so it's nice.
And how does that mix of life experience benefit the team? I mean, I've spoken before to people like Rebecca Durrell about this, for example. Slightly more mature, more experienced riders who've seen a bit of life outside of, you know, the endless sort of slog from one training camp to the next. And, you know, that experience is really helpful in building camaraderie. How does that help your team?
Yeah, I mean, even though we've all got very different jobs, all of our jobs require teamwork and problem solving and good communication. And if you've got that from a lot of different perspectives and you bring it together, that's ideal in a race situation. If you're someone who easily communicates with people across every spectrum, then you're going to do well as a team.
Phil, you've spoken before about the necessity of positive friction, about getting the right mix of personalities in a working environment. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yes, I mean, I guess like any team. In fact, I'd be interested in Joey's view on this. I want to come to you in a moment, if that's all right, Joey, because you've obviously ridden in your career to date from, you know, for Wiggins, you've ridden for Madison, you've ridden for Vitus. So you've been in very different sort of environments, I guess, different people, different team setups, different management styles. You know, normally when you're running a business or any high performance team, you do need that positive friction in order to continue to improve and grow. If you work too much on harmony, too far to the left on just having harmony, then you may not always get the performance effectively that you need. It's actually about having the team working cohesively as one, taking into account all the various different contributions that every individual brings, providing that is always about the team, about the performance, about the output. And then each individual still needs to have their own characteristic and their own capability and identity in that team in order for that to work together. It's a really tricky job to do. Getting team chemistry right is a big, big part of any business or cycling team's output that they want, because what you don't want is always just one person who considers himself bigger than the team because then the ego gets in the way. It creates disharmony. People don't want to ride for each other in the same way that in a business, that people won't work for each other or give each other their discretionary effort. So I just wonder, sort of, Joey, thinking back to your career in the domestic cycling scene so far, what are the characteristics of some of the best teams that you've ridden for? Are you, you know, when it works and it gels and actually you get that flow performance?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you just said there, where as a team as a whole, you need to be bouncing off each other and as a whole motivated. So, I mean, Wiggins, when I was on that, that was quite a young team, so we're all hungry for that win, but you wouldn't mind who it was who took the win. But for example, in Madison, obviously we got told halfway through the year, I think it was just before Torres, that the team was folding. And then a lot of the older riders then knew they was retiring at the end of the year. And that really put a downer on the team then. And towards the end of the year, it was only sort of me and Joe Laverick, who was another young lad, really wanted to race hard. So yeah, it's definitely motivated the team as a whole that I'd say is the best environment.
Mm-hmm. And obviously now that you're coming over to Crimson, and obviously you're coming over in the National Circuit Series Champions jersey, which is absolutely fantastic. So I'm looking forward to seeing that kit, Matt. When's that getting delivered?
So that one's going to be arriving in May, and we'll get some special content together with Joey for that as well.
So how's that changed the team dynamic, Matt, from your side? Because of course you focused, you know, you've ridden the Tour Series in the past, but suddenly now the game's changed a little bit. Now you've got Joey on the squad because of course you've got the National Circuit Race champion in the squad. So how's that meant you've configured the squad differently to approach 2021 and 2022 to really support Joey and his ambitions to, you know, to get out there and to win some of these important crits?
Yeah, of course, Joey comes with the palmares of winning races at that level, and having a team that can support Joey to achieve that end goal of being back on the podium is super important for us. So, you know, I could confidently say the squad that we've got for the Elite Circuit Series and Tour Series is hopefully we're going to take it to these Conti teams and mix it up, disrupt it this year. And it'd be great to see Joey on the podium or hopefully get his hands in the air, winning bike races again after almost 16 months away from the scene. And you know what? Maybe one or two of the other riders might get up there too.
I mean, it's almost a sort of double-edged sword, isn't it? It's a tremendous honour to have the national champion in your squad, to have that jersey with your logos on it. But I guess a responsibility comes with that too. You've got to give Joey the support he needs to perform.
Absolutely. So we do have a big squad this year in the men's side. We've got 15 riders, but it's almost like a split squad in that sense, where quite a lot of that 15-man group is specifically tailoring their training for performance in crits. So it allows us then to target races with pure intent of winning, rather than trying to do everything, getting riders that can go and get a result in a National Road Series race and then turn up to Otley Grand Prix and win is a tricky one. You know, those roulettes are hard to find. It's really giving riders the goals there to achieve. So for certain riders on the team, all they'll be doing is criteriums this year. That's their training focus. So they're, you know, hungry for results in those races. So they can tailor their training perfectly for that, rather than having a group of 15 guys that are all trained to do everything. And it's hard to deliver that performance when that's the case. We need to be very specific when you're turning up and racing against full-time professional riders.
What reassurance does that give you, Joey, to know that you've got this dedicated squad of crit specialists training solely for the crits to support your efforts?
Yeah, it's a big confidence boost. And I think that comes with a responsibility from myself to dig that deeper. If someone's putting their race on the line for you in a lead out, for example, or covering moves early on, yeah, it makes you go that bit deeper towards the end of the race for the result. And I think going back to a conversation earlier, as soon as, I think the earlier the better we can pick up a result, I think you can build on from that, and it gives the team a big confidence boost to say we can do it. And yeah, and I hope I can bring that to the team and the other riders.
Joey, quick question about why you haven't gone abroad, let's say. So obviously a lot of riders, I think even Joe Laverick obviously is abroad now, and many others are trying to pursue their careers not in the UK, and you've chosen to stay in the UK. So would you just tell us why?
Yeah, so obviously when I was younger, you aspire to be in the tour and stuff like that. And then obviously on Wiggins, that was the same. And then I had quite a bad crash in the Tour of Britain towards back end of, it'd have been 2018 now. It did take a big hit of confidence. I've built that back over time, and obviously winning the crit champs and stuff like that. And then I've sort of just sort of realised over time, if I can make a career out of racing in the UK, I'd be happy with that. I mean, riders in the past, like Christian House, for example, he had a good 10 years doing what he loved in the UK and it was successful. So at the end of the day, I just want to be happy racing bikes, and yeah, that'll do me.
That's really great. Matt, talking of bikes, have you got a bike brand? Who's your bike brand for 2021?
Cipollini Frames this year. And again, you know, it's all about trying to get the best kit possibly can for your riders. And we managed to source a deal with Paligap, who are the B2B dealers with Cipollini in the UK. And we've got something pretty special on the way from Italy. Custom paint, navy and gold. So again, you know, that was a risk for us because we had all our Cinelli team bikes ready to go again, but we're constantly pushing things and I'm after any potential gain that I can leverage to grow this team. I'm after it. So I'm going to take it. And I know it's a risk to go and change all the team bikes without having raced on them once, but I've done that. And it's a stressful process because we're still waiting for them now. And it's the same goes for the kit as well, Phil, because we've changed from Lacol to Rafa. That was another risk that we took. But I say all these risks are worth pursuing in the end, because the image of the team is just elevated when you're on something special like a custom Cipollini.
Absolutely fantastic, Matt. And obviously I've been very lucky in that you've sent me a piece of this lovely Rafa kit. And I'm just wondering where my Cipollini bike might turn up. And it was a 56 centimetre, if you remember, is what I'm after. So I'm sure there'll be a lovely presentation at some point in the future, which would be great. Joey, can I just quickly ask you a question? I saw a picture on Instagram of you riding your dad's old Falcon Banana that he used to race in the Milk Race that you've just had resprayed and rebuilt. Is that right?
Yeah, it's something that's been sat in a shop for a while now, and it's been looking pretty tired and run down. And I've been meaning to do it for a while, and this year was a perfect opportunity with the extra time and stuff. And yeah, got it resprayed and built up, and it's in the garage now for when I need to head to the cafe, looking cool.
That looks absolutely awesome. So, Matt, you're denying now the comeback for the Falcon Banana race frames for Crimson for the 22 season, are you?
Well, maybe we can get Joey on that for one of the rounds of the Tour Series and see how he goes.
That would be absolutely awesome. What's the difference, Joey, between riding that bike and riding a modern bike? Tell us, you know, for the aficionados, what's the difference between the ride that you had on that and your team bike?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the main difference is the gearing, I'd say. It's gearing that would break your back on that bike. There's no compact in sight, so yeah. But I was surprised how well it rode. It was a comfy ride, actually. I don't know whether that was I think it's got one of them Brooks saddles on, which are like an armchair.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, yes, please give your dad my best, because, you know, obviously he's a former very accomplished road racer here and obviously, you know, winner of the Milk Race. So I think, was it five stages, I think, he took in the Milk Race back in the day? So really amazing.
Well, well said, Phil. I mean, certainly Joey is continuing a fine tradition of walkers at the sharp end of British road racing. As usual, it seems we've covered a lot of ground and barely scratched the surface. The 2021 incarnation of the Brother UK-sponsored Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing Team is clearly ready to roar back into action. The Otley Grand Prix, which is the opening race of this year's National Circuit Series, to be held on June the 30th, is ringed in red on the team's calendar, and on Joey's especially. Along with the Sheffield Grand Prix, it's almost a home event for the British Circuit Race Champion. Let's round up this episode in our usual fashion with our social shout-out, where we let you, the listener, know where you can find our guests on social media. Matt, let's start with you.
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook at We Are Crimson Performance, and on Instagram, it's just Crimson Performance, and on Twitter, you need to type in Crimson Cycling to find us on there, and the website's crimsonperformance.com if you want to check out our new fancy race team page, which is really smart. So definitely worth checking that out.
That's great. Thank you. And how about you, Melissa? Where can people find you on social media?
My Instagram is just at Melissa Greaves. And my Twitter is at MelissaRuth18MG.
Thank you. And Joey, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, on Twitter and Instagram, it's both Joey Wack.
W-A-C-K.
W-A-C-K, yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. And finally, Phil, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, best place to find me is probably on Twitter for cycling-related matters, at RoadPhil. If you do have a bit of business in your mind at any time, you can find me at PhilJones40, 40, that is.
That's great. Thank you. And we do hope you'll follow Brother Cycling. We're at Brother Cycling on all three channels. Matt, Joey, Melissa, Phil, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. It's going to be a huge week for Crimson Performance with the unveiling of the 2021 squad, their new sponsors and their new kit. Make sure that you're following all of these people on social media. Thank you very much again for listening, and stay safe.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.